Have you been wanting to start a podcast but not quite sure where to start? If so, I'd love for you to check out my online course called How to Start a Podcast in 24 Hours. Here we'll dive into all of the things you need to get started. Things like how to name your podcast, which microphone to use, how to edit, and lots more. Go to realdavidezell.com to learn more. That's realdavidezell.com to learn more.
Freedom over fame. Freedom over cycle stays the same.
Welcome in, everyone, to How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm your host, David Ezell. Here, we'll talk with business owners and founders on what it's like to ride the roller coaster known as entrepreneurship. How to navigate the highs, the lows, as well as tangible tips that you can use right now to kickstart your business or idea. Let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm David Ezell, and today I'm joined by Kerry Prejean. He's the president, CEO, and founder of Strategic Business Advisors. He brings over 35 years of expertise to growing businesses. With a degree in accounting and a CPA license, Kerry provides real-time cash management dashboards and detailed monthly reports, fostering system-oriented operations. What's going on?
Hey, man. Good to have you. I mean, good to be here.
Heck yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, good to hear you, David. Thank you.
Good. And it's always so much fun when I get to talk to people from Louisiana, Baton Rouge. I mean, the epicenter of everything these days, from football to baseball. I mean, they just got kicked back off. I mean, I'm deep into like keeping up with spring training. I mean, crawfish yes. prices, apparently everything, like we didn't get enough water, so those are through the roof. I'm trying to figure yes. out how I can get them here to Texas. It's, you know, you're in the heart of everything.
Yeah, seems that way.
Are you following all the baseball and football? I mean, where's your focus when it comes to sports season?
I follow it some. I mean, you know, I played sports in high school and college, and I guess as I've aged, you know, my perspective has changed from, hey, what does it do for your paycheck if your team wins or loses? I mean, yeah, it's great to see your team win. And I see people like get all wrapped up in a season and they call it for the coach's head or they call it for his renewal. And it's like, does it matter that much? I don't know. It's just, I got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, I had to kind of remind myself of that these past couple of seasons. You know, because I was one of those that I would kind of live and die with the team. My wife yeah. still kind of doesn't get it. You know, like if we lose, especially if we lose badly, you know, I mean, I'm just depressed. I'll say, I got to go walk the dog. I'll go take our dog for a walk around the block. And then exactly what you said, it's one of those things where it's like, well, what does that really matter to me? It doesn't. You know, the outcome of that game doesn't matter. I'm happy when we win, but you can't let that stick with you.
But what it does is when you follow a team, it has that emotional hook. It's that tribalism, right?
Yeah.
It's like we're on the team and we're not. I didn't even go to LSU. I didn't even go to LSU, but I love watching them. I love watching them win. When Joe Burrow was there and they won everything, yeah. I was a tiger. I never went to the yep. LSU. But it's that emotional hook of tribalism that gets us all. You know, just like something happens, 9/11, everybody wants to wave the flag, America. It's this tribalism thing. So, yeah.
You nailed it. So let's talk about a little bit more about Strategic Business Advisors. So where did you come from to get to the point that you are now? Did entrepreneurship yeah. and finances and everything, I mean, was that from an early age and then it just kind of morphed into where it is now, or where did that start?
Well, I got out of accounting at UL Lafayette, back time it was USL, and went to work for a couple of the big Fortune 500 companies. I worked for one of the big ed accounting firms as a tax accountant, got hired away from there by a client in New Orleans. And what I found out was the client in New Orleans didn't know how to read his financial statements. And I was used to guys in corporate America, big corporate America, they knew how to slice them and dice them. They knew, you know, they knew all kinds of stuff about it. But these small business owners I found, really didn't, you know, they'd like, look at, what was our sales? What does our cash look like? But outside of that, do we make money, not make money? Well, how do we not make money? We sold this much more. And then you try and talk about prepaid expenses and accruals and all, and they just, the eyes are glazed over and roll back in their head. So what I found was, you know, I eventually left there and I've worked for another few small businesses, small, medium-sized businesses. What if I was none of these guys knew how to read financial statements? At first, I was just this guy. So what I made an effort to do was to educate the business owners that I worked for. And eventually, you know, they would brag on me to their friends. So their friends would have me look at their stuff part-time. And eventually, so I think in 1987, eventually that I said, you know, I think I'm going to start doing this consulting. And I was mainly like, and it wasn't even a title then, but it was a fractional CFO.
Yeah.
That's what the title is now. But back then, that was not a term. It was sort of a part-time CPA. But again, I didn't do financial statements. I never wrote an opinion on financial statements. Didn't do tax returns. But it was all about more about business advising business owners on what are your financial statements are saying about your business. Here, let me get you some. And I started to develop some dashboards like, okay, like every week you need to see some numbers about your business so you can take action in real time rather than you got to wait till the 20th of next month, see what happened last month, and there's nothing you can do about last month.
Yep.
As opposed to you get some actual financial data during the month, you can actually make, you know, you can do some things, you can change things up. And from there, I saw that they really didn't know how to handle this function, mainly because generally the business owner is the cause of the dysfunction. And the cause, it's because they're, and I don't want to get too long-winded here, so cut me off. But again, a business owner starts his business, they hire a person, they hire two people. Eventually, they have so many people, but they've been doing all the jobs right from the beginning. So when they hire people, like, this is the way we do this. The business owner's like, this is my way. We're going to do accounting my way. We're going to do shipping my way. We're going to do sales. We're going to do everything my way. Well, here's the problem. What is it that got the business owner into starting his own business anyway, or her business? They had a vision of, I can do this. I can make money doing this. I can go out and help people. And two, I can generate some revenue, right? This is what I'm going to do to help people. This I can generate some revenue. So that's their two jobs, visionary and primary revenue generator. They don't know accounting. They don't know shipping. They don't know how to manage inventory. They don't know any of that stuff. But they go around their company and says, my way, my way, my way, my way. Have you seen Casino with Robert De Niro?
Oh, yeah. The movie? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Do you remember when De Niro is talking to this big country bumpkin about he had placed the slot machine in the wrong place? He goes, listen very carefully. There's three ways you do things around here. There's the right way, there's the wrong way, there's my way. We do things my way around here. And then there's another scene where he sees his friend's blueberry muffin is like falling apart with the blueberries. He barely has any. He goes to the chef in the kitchen. He says, from now on, I want every blueberry muffin to have the same number of blueberries. And the chef goes, you know how long that's going to take? I don't care how long it's going to take. Same number of blueberries. That's right. Typical business owner. I want things my way. I want things that... And the thing is, that's not their skill.
Yep.
So eliminating this function, and Joey, what's missing is a good process, a good detailed process that everybody understands. Everybody knows their role, your role, my role, timing, everything. Think of the deck of an aircraft carrier. You got 18, 20 roles launching and retrieving warplanes in all this high technology. And I mean, think about most 18, 20 roles right now, right? Looking at the lost in their phone, lost in a game, something. But right. These kids are train, drill, drill, drill. They know exactly what they're doing, they know what everybody else is doing, and they do it like with, you know, military precision, as it's called. Right. Another example, fast food restaurant. You take 5 to 7 teenagers, run a fast food restaurant. Why? Because there's procedures everywhere. Everybody knows how to make the fries. Everybody knows how to make the Royale with cheese. Everybody knows how to make the apple pie, whatever. Right? They can all run the register.
Right.
And it's, again, with good procedures, you don't need all these. You don't need the special person that has a black box knowledge and only they can do it.
Is there a tipping point where you see when, like, companies or entrepreneurs are starting, you know, maybe they're 6 months, 2 years in, where really that's the turning point of like, look, we're starting to hire faster than we can,
right?
Faster than we can keep the vision going. We need to sit down collectively and we need to get some processes in place before things just start splintering all over.
Yeah, I don't have a hard and fast answer for that. All I know is when there's a dysfunction, it's an indication that you don't have a good process there, right? So I even have a process for identifying those, so you can redo the process or create the process for something. Awesome. That's a great book. And it's for the EOS crowd. You've ever heard of that? Entrepreneur Operating System. There's a great book, Traction. And they talk about delegate and elevate. In other words, at some point in your business, you're going to be doing everything in the beginning. But as you get bigger, you need to delegate what you can't handle anymore and elevate yourself and grow your organization. And the stumbling block for most entrepreneurs is they're so committed to it's got to get done my way. And they don't want to spend the money hiring the extra people because it's going to, quote, cut into their profits. And what they don't get is if you hire extra people and you have a more efficient organization, you're actually going to make more money. You're going to generate more revenue. You're going to be more efficient. You're going to generate more profits.
So where does cash flow fit into that from that standpoint and kind of where you come in with that mindset?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like that's, like you were talking about, the big consulting firms and the big financial companies. You know, I mean, that's drilled into them. They know how to look through that kind of stuff. But entrepreneurs, they may be thinking about cash flow, but maybe not. It may be more of, look, this is my passion project. This is one I want to go do. I'll figure out how to make the money, or I figured out right now how to make some money. But that cash flow lever may not be turned on, or they may not be thinking about it in the same vein like you were talking about. You need to know it right now. You need to have a pulse on the cash flow coming into your business, not the 20th of next month, looking back a month, where it's like, oh, well, I see we were losing money, but we're 3 weeks past that now. Can we pay, you know, now you're behind. Are you eager to dive into the world of podcasting, but not sure where to start? Look no further than How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours. This dynamic course is your ultimate guide to launching a podcast from scratch in just one day. Learn the ins and outs of podcast creation, from content planning to recording, editing, and promotion. Head over to realdavidezel.com to grab your spot in this transformative course. Unleash your creativity, share your passion, and connect with your audience. Start your podcasting journey today with How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours.
Right. I'm reminded of a story of, you know, imagine you're in a plane flying over the Atlantic and the pilot comes on. He's got, I've got bad news, I've got good news. He goes, all our instruments are out. I have no idea what direction we're flying. I have no idea what speed we're flying at. I have no idea how much fuel we have left. The good news is we're making great time.
Awesome.
So most business owners that I first meet, they manage their business, they manage their cash flow with how much is in the bank, without having any idea of what's coming down the road. And what I always talk to them about is you've got some icebergs that may be coming at you, and that to survive an iceberg, you need to learn how to navigate around it. So if you've got some big tax payment, you've got some big insurance payment, you've got some big whatever payment coming down the road, you need to like plan ahead, either start conserving paying payables, get a credit line, tap into your credit line, try and accelerate some receivables. You need to maybe a combination of all of that. So one of the first dashboards that I generate for a new client is a cash projection going out 6 to 10 weeks. Some of them that have more predictable incomes, you can go out 12, 14, 16 weeks. But most of them, it's 6 to 10 weeks, right?
Okay.
And it shows them, this is your beginning cash. This is what we expect to come in this week. This is what we, these are fixed expenses that have to go out. And this is what we think you can pay in payables. And it just goes that way every week. And you spread out their payables. You spread out what you think they're going to collect. You have a schedule of their fixed expenses. It's like mathematics. It's like arithmetic. Here's the numbers. All right.
But it's so important though for companies that aren't thinking in that vein. You know, they're so focused on their service, their technology, their deliverable, and their customers, and getting the next. They're so focused on all those different aspects. So if they don't have something, or at least in my opinion, it would be super helpful to just have a dashboard where I could see what's going out, what's coming in, and I can visually see it.
Well, here's the big thing. Having that creates so much peace of mind. That's what they all tell me. Oh, God, I don't wake up at 2 in the morning anymore worried about what's going to come through the door that we're not prepared for, right? Because you can see it. It's just, like I say, it's basic mathematics. It's arithmetic. Here's all the numbers. Here's a bottleneck coming up. What can we do to navigate around it? It's, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But because they're not trained in how to do that, and generally their accounting department or the bookkeeper, whatever, accounting people aren't trained to think that way. They're just transactional today. they don't allow it. So when you show it, I mean, that's not that big of a spreadsheet. Yeah, it's a workbook. It's got several tasks, but it all ties back on the big summary page where you, the summary page, go, okay, yeah, we're good. We're good. Or, oh, wait, 4 weeks from now, we've got a problem. What do we need to do about it?
Yeah. You know, and I always feel like that's kind of how people are, even with like personal finances. You know, yes. unless you know what you're trying to do and you can reverse engineer how to get there, you can game plan for what you do when you get a raise or any of those types of things, and you know what you're doing with your money, and you make sure that you're living below your means and
right.
putting money where it should go, it helps you sleep at night. Then you, if you want to go buy a new pair of shoes, it's like, well, look, I have $500 a month that I've allocated to David's stupid stuff. He can go buy whatever he wants.
Right.
It's not going to cut into anything else. I can sleep
money.
At night knowing that. Yeah. And I mean, from an entrepreneurship standpoint, I don't think there's anything more that would keep you up at night and cause you to sweat than the financial part. Customers, you can make them happy. Customers, you can do all kinds of stuff. But can I keep the lights on? Can I pay my employees? Yeah. It feels like that's
make
the biggest
payroll?
One.
Am I going to be able to make my banknotes? Am I going to pay my tax? Here's the thing that here's number two that keeps that wakes business owners up in the middle of the night. Are my taxes being filed and paid?
Oh yeah,
one time.
Yeah,
because I tell you what, I walked into more than a few businesses where all of a sudden Mr. Taxman or Ms. Taxwoman shows up and says, "Hey, here's an assessment we've been sending to you, certified mail, return receipt request. It's the last 6 months you haven't responded. You owe us, you know, six figures, seven figures, and we need a check today. We're going to padlock you to us."
Perfect.
And what happens is you go to the accounting department, and yes, they've got a nice stack of envelopes with registered return receipt requested mail that have never been opened because they're too scared to look at it. They're too scared to go tell the boss because the boss might, you know, react negatively to them.
Oh.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, listen, I've been there so many times where I didn't, you know, I was there. I can remember this one client in particular. There was a stack of that she kept hidden because I'd asked. I said, "We get any tax notices?" "No, no, no." And I'm there one day, and here comes the IRS guy. Says, "I need $106,000 today for back payroll taxes." "Okay." I said, "Show me your numbers." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Show me your numbers." He's giving me 106,000 reasons to look at your numbers.
Yep.
So he starts asking, and what it was is some glitch in the machine. The payroll tax returns that had been filed and paid weren't showing up in the system, so I showed them all to him, and there was some kind of, I forget the kerfuffle, but it was like a $5,000 check. We figured it all out, gave him the $5,000 check, and he walked out. The owner was like sweating bullets.
Yeah.
He could have written a check, but it would have drained his cash. But again, it's, you know, it's a matter of, so then we found out, oh yeah, I have this. Yeah, I've been getting mail, and I didn't want to upset you, and can't do that anymore.
So what is the sweet spot of the business that you like to work with the most? Is it a certain vertical? Is it a certain company size? I mean, what is it? What's one that comes across your plate, and you're like, yeah, man, this one's going to be exciting?
It's not so much the business. I used to think that my favorite industries in the past were manufacturing, construction, and wholesale, right? Now, I have like a law firm, a physical therapy firm. I've got a couple of e-commerce clients. I've got a guy who's got a sailboat in Seattle that does tours of Seattle Harbor. A three-masted ship. You know, so I've got this big diversity of clients. Here's the kind of business I want to work with. An owner who has been suffering with, I'm working too much. This is way too hard. Why don't my employees get it? Why do I always have to save the day? I don't understand what's going on. I'm struggling with cash flow. I can't plan for the future. I can't do my main revenue generating stuff. I need help. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. The business owner who is there, and there's a lot more of them there than you think.
Is that like a process thing right there?
No, it's something, you know, I mean, listen, I've taught classes at the SBA, and people ask, what kind of business do you work with? And I tell them that. They go, and they all raise their hand.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, because most people who've been in business for, let's say, 7 years to 15, 20 years, they're exactly there. They're working 80 to 100 hours a week. They can't take any time off. They're waiting for the crisis du jour, or, you know, the hand grenade of the day to be dropped in their lap. They've always got to go settle squabbles. They're always run around fussing at people, You know, and you know, I could tell him, I said, so when somebody does something and it's, quote, not your way, why do you fuss at them if they got the job done? Well, because it's my business. I want it done my way. Okay. Well, what'd you just do? What'd you just communicate to the employee that you asked them, why'd you do it that way? You just told them they're incompetent, you're stupid, and I don't trust you. So guess what you did to their motivation to do anything extra for you? It's gone.
You showed them that their opinion is not valued at all.
Well, but it's an ongoing process. They do it all the time. They don't realize that. I said, so the morale out there is, I'm going to show up. Here's the thing from a bit from George Carlin. Most people work just hard enough not get fired and make just enough money to not quit. Right. And that's where most of the American workforce is today. So if you want to work, if you want your talent pool to be engaged, that they want to give you extra, they want to do more for you, you have to show them that, number one, you care about them. Number two, that you're sincere and care about them. And number three, that you want to support them. How can I support you? You need anything for your job. You need extra training. You need anything, any extra tools, any equipment, any whatever to do your job. You need software, something. How's your family, by the way? How's your health? What do you do for your hobbies? I mean, just take an interest. Now, again, if the business is big enough, the owner can't have that kind of relationship, say, 200-300 people. But you can have it with your leadership team. And your leadership team can have that with the people that report to them. And that can be part of the company culture that we care about our people. And believe me, in companies like that, people will kill.
They will kill
for the company.
Yeah, I mean, that's that whole, like, you know, people don't leave bad companies. They leave bad managers or they leave bad bosses. I mean, it's...
Exactly.
You're not going to want to stay somewhere where, like you said, where your opinion isn't valued. The way that you want to do it that might be more effective gets consistently met with roadblocks, or there's no reason for why we're not going to do it that way, or at least it doesn't feel like you have a voice.
Yeah, what happens most of the time is just a transactional relationship, and basically the message you get is you're a cog in the machine, you're incompetent, I don't trust you to handle my business, I'm gonna hover over you and you know, micromanage you to death, and you're not going to like it here. And so what's going to happen? They're going to look like, where else can I go? Why can I do that? Maybe they don't micromanage me like this and treat me like I'm a cog in the machine.
Right.
Like,
well, Kerry, I mean, how can people keep up with you? I mean, I know that you're doing all kinds of amazing things. How can people keep up with you? What are some of the main takeaways that you want whenever people, I mean, whether that's following you on social, the floor is yours.
Yeah. Really, I mean, the biggest, quote, social that I have is LinkedIn. You can find me there, Kerry Prejean, Strategic Business Advisor. I also have a website if you're interested in talking to me. It's strategicbusinessadvisors.org, not .com. And there's actually, I have a thing called the well-oiled machine process. So we talk about actionable financial data, eliminating dysfunction, and strategic planning, right? And it's like a 8-page PDF. There's actually some plant testimonial videos that are embedded in that. You can get that on the website. It give you a better idea of how I work with people, what we do. That'd be probably the best way. If just want to look at my LinkedIn, that's fine. If you want to go to my website, strategicbusinessadvisors.org, that'd be a good place. You can schedule a free consultation with me.
Fantastic. Well, I will make sure that all of that is linked so that people can check you out on LinkedIn, follow you and all the stuff that you're doing, as well as check out the well-oiled machine. Because, I mean, there's nothing more important for entrepreneurs growing businesses than to be able to have an idea of what that cash flow looks like, have an idea of knowing when to put those procedures in place so that they don't turn into those companies like you just mentioned, and that they can stay keeping everybody kind of focused on that one vision, and where everybody kind of rallies around what that vision is, and they're doing it together.
Right. Thank you, David. I appreciate that.
You got it. Well, I appreciate your time. Like I said, always a pleasure to talk to fellow Louisianians, and I hope you have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you, David. You too, man.
Thanks for listening to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform, and connecting on social. You can subscribe and follow on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Real David Ezell. To learn more about being a guest on the show, go to realdavidezell.com to find out more. Until next time.